Welcome to Leaders and Managers Hub, the podcast, with Lisa Hyten, Sophie Bryan, Gary Spinks, and myself, Ray Campion. Final part of our recruitment, selection, and onboarding series. Enjoy. I wanted to talk about what you feel about whether assigning buddies, mentors, coaches, friends, like, so often for somebody when they join an organization, depending on the size of the organization, but let's say it's a fairly large organization, understanding what their role is when they're a professional is probably reasonably straightforward. But understanding how they operate within that organization is really the tricky bit, because it's very hard to write it down for a lot of organizations. And knowing, certainly in your first couple of months, where you need to go to access things, particularly as a lot of organizations now, everything's on an intranet. So, you know, to raise an IT ticket or to book annual leave or to book a meeting room, to order stationery, to get in business card, everything's on the intranet. And sometimes, with respect to intranet developers, sometimes it's pretty unnavigable. So how do you feel about assigning a mentor, like a buddy, to support that person in their initial journey within the organization? And then on top of that, do we need to go further? Do we need to look at it from the perspective of like a mental health first aider, whereby we create, like, to use a recently common term, a support bubble within the organization to enable people to navigate their way through the ebbs and flows of that organization? I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
Absolutely, 100%. I think people should have a mentor, a buddy, a coach. I think you need to have that person that you can go to ask what you think is a stupid question. You know, you just think, oh, you know, I can't ask that question again, or I know I've written that down somewhere, but I just don't understand this. Or like you said, the innavigable intranet, that person that you know you can tap into, can provide you with that support, can help you come to your own conclusions, not necessarily give you the answers, but will give you kind of the roadmap of what you need to do to find the answer. I think that's invaluable to know you've got that, and also to know that it's not always necessarily going to be your manager, the person who you're working with, or even people in your team that are going to do that for you. Someone who is outside of that, I think, is incredibly important. But I would also say, I don't believe that stops just in the induction process. And I think that all the work that I do at the moment with my clients is becoming increasingly more important around coaching and creating coaching cultures. And I think if most organizations were able to pair people up in a coaching, mentoring, or buddying capacity, then, you know, suitable people being matched with suitable people, because obviously there are clashes of personalities where, you know, certain people just wouldn't work in that way. But where possible, having that, I think that goes back to your point where you were talking about mental health first aiders as well. I think knowing that throughout your whole entire employment there, you've got somebody who you can share that information with, you can have impartial conversations with, they can help you perhaps see things from a different perspective. They could play devil's advocate and help you talk through certain situations or certain problems from a different perspective. I think that's probably one of the most important things you could do for your people. And I think that extends beyond the recruitment process, the induction process.
Yeah, I totally agree with Sophie. It's not just about when you first start. I think roles within a company are needed like that throughout someone's employment. I know when I was at the college, which was sort of years ago, they started on a similar scheme so that you almost become like an ambassador for your department. And it was then part of your role was to get out and talk to the other departments, but for the same reason, so that you became that point of contact that people felt comfortable coming to, whether it was that they were needing help and assistance from your team or whatever it might have been. But I actually think it's quite good for staff. If you start recognising that you've got staff that can play that role, then why not create something out of that? Because I think it's a massive thing. Like you're saying with the mental health first aiders and stuff, I know people that have done that training, and if they're willing and wanting to do training like that, then they're probably willing to take on a bit more of a role where people are concerned. But it's a great way to develop current staff to help you build that sort of culture, I think, within your company. But it's been a really interesting chat, because although I don't have staff under me at the workshop at the moment, the onboarding process is very similar for me with the tenants that we bring in.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that.
So it's actually really interesting, especially hearing some of Gary's bits, because he's one of our tenants. But
Held back though, Lisa. He's not done
quiet today.
Yeah, he's not done a warts and all expose yet.
But no, there's a lot of work I'm doing, and
no
actually,
PowerPoint.
Yeah, there's lots of that I do, but actually it's probably seeing my role within that is, yeah, there is that onboarding process for tenants. And again, it's very similar. It's making sure that at each stage of that process that I give them enough information that makes them want to come and have a look at the place to start with. Then there's a bit more if they do a trial day, so that everything, yeah, because ultimately if they've been in and done a free trial day, then you hope that from that they want to sign up. So it's sort of deciding, but actually it's given me a few other ideas of what else we could do.
Well, plus their experience, like people aren't that great at sharing great experiences, but by gosh, if they have a bad experience, everybody in their friendship group or business friendship group's going to know about it.
Yeah. I'm very lucky. The feedback we get at the moment is very good. But yeah, it's definitely given me some food for thought on what else we could be doing. But yeah, going down the route of sort of the people thing, I'm very conscious when we get new tenants joining, especially within, actually it doesn't make any difference, I don't think, now with its desks or offices, but like for office tenants, it's making sure you introduce them to the neighbours on the floor they're on. But more so for desk tenants, and that's where the sort of networking bit comes into it, I suppose, is that you want to make sure you've introduced them to someone that you know they're probably going to have a decent conversation with. Mm. And we've got some tenants that are really sort of kind of naturals at that, and they enjoy it. They're there because of the people, so it's quite natural. We've got others that might be a bit more hesitant, so I think that's an area that I need to sort of try and grow. And almost that becomes with this whole idea of flexible benefits is kind of being, yeah, can be transferred over to our tenants almost like they are staff. But
yeah, it sure can. Yeah, I mean,
because like, yeah, they're our biggest advocates at the end of the day.
I have seen like office complexes offering, like if they've got a gym nearby or whatever, offering discounted gym memberships and stuff like that to tenants. So, you know, or even like, you know, discounted like food and stuff in local restaurants and cafes and stuff.
Well, we have got our workshop card, but it's one of the things that's been on my list since I started, which I cannot believe is going to be a year in a couple of weeks, that I want to develop. So yeah, that's kind of right up there at the moment. But yeah, it's all those little extras that are there for tenants, a bit like it would be if it was staff. So yeah, it's been an interesting one to hear some different ideas that I can adapt. So, yeah.
And I bet Gary's looking forward to the champagne in a couple of weeks to celebrate Lisa's 1 year in the role.
Oh,
absolutely.
So Gary, let's do a critique then on Lisa's onboarding technique.
How long we got?
PowerPoints aside.
So
from you, like your take on mentoring and buddying and stuff like that, supporting people into their role.
Yes, I'm really just going to broadly support everything that everyone else has said, really. I do think it's really valuable to have somebody that when somebody joins, it's that's the person who is the, if you like, the go-to person. I know that this is the person that I can go to with anything, whether it's trivial or I think it's going to be, it could be seen as silly. You know, it's just somebody will just say, yeah, not a problem, here's the answer, or here's what you do. And it just means that people can have confidence then to just get on with what they're doing and not worry about, oh, I don't know how to do that, or I'm not sure about this, or not sure I'm doing that the right way. There's just somebody that they can confide in, and they get a non-judgmental support, because that's what it's all about for the people who are in that, providing that role. It might be a team leader, it might be somebody else, but they're also getting the benefit of leadership experience, facilitator experience, mentoring experience, which again is additional skills, which again, if they wanted to move up the ladder, they've got then something to help them demonstrate, here's how I've been helping our new people, and look at those people, they're still with us, that could be part of the successful onboarding we do. So I think that's a strength. I know one of the agencies that I work for, part of their onboarding process is this. They get a very clear email to a new client to say, these are the next steps. This is, the next thing we need to do is arrange a call, and you're going to be speaking with, and they'll say that, the name of the person, their role, and what they're going to talk through on that 45-minute call. Just so that's, it just helps people know, oh, here's the next step. And we haven't just sort of, got you on board and then, yeah, we'll see you when we see you. It's, no, you're on board, and we want to make sure that you're happy. We're just going to confirm all that's happening, answer any early questions you've got. And that's really important to do that. And it all, again, goes back to that, personalization and customization. Every time you're giving those bits of the process to people, you're giving them a chance to, be individuals and share their, personal, individual, organizational concerns, which may be different from other people's. And that also helps you to learn for future onboarding, because they may raise some points that you hadn't thought about, or you suddenly realize that, oh, lots of people are asking about flexible benefits. What are we going to do about that? The feedback and the experience that you have of onboarding can also help to improve your own. So it's not just about supporting the new people, but also it's about improving your organization.
Yeah, it must always be used as a learning opportunity to do things better and better and better, for sure. Thank you very much, guys. So I just wanted to say for our listeners, obviously, we haven't really dissented on this subject. I'd be very interested to hear contrary opinions. You can email us at podcast@leadersandmanagershub.com, and we'll be absolutely sure, if you're disagreeing with us, your email is going to get read out. That is an absolute must. We want to hear your experiences of the whole process from end to end, from when you first looked at that advert to, you retired after 40 years in the role, or whatever it might be, or as an employer or a hiring manager, your take on the process from your side of things. We will, in a separate cast, talk about succession planning specifically and development pathways and all that sort of thing. But for now, we'd like to thank you all. Thank you, Lisa, Sophie, Gary. It's been a really interesting conversation, and hopefully when this whole series comes out in the form of about 5 independent casts, it will be of benefit to some people who are listening. Or at the very least, it will provoke debate, argument, and controversy, which we do like a bit of controversy. So thank you all. So that's it for now on recruitment, selection, and onboarding. We hope you enjoyed it and that you were able to take something from it. Please feel free to get in contact with us, podcast@leadersandmanagershub.com, We love to get your correspondence, particularly if you're challenging any of our views or anything we've spoken about, because we love to hear alternative perspectives. So please don't hesitate to get in contact with us, podcast@leadersandmanagershub.com. Please also, if you get an opportunity and you listen to us on iTunes, give us a rating, 5 stars, nothing less. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it, because it just gives us encouragement to keep going. Coming up shortly, we'll have a series on the 5 dysfunctions of a team. We'll talk a little bit more about that specifically next time, and we hope that there'll be lots in that for you as well. It's hard to believe. Thank you. Be safe. Be good. Bye. Moving as fast as a bull, charging the scene, but on point like a laser, targeted beam. Hit your body quick as a swift karate kick, so people feel it even if they won't acknowledge it. But you had to know it up when the track exploded. You tried to go and grab a hold it as it catapulted. Now we're setting sail on the epic scale of discovery, so respect the trail. Cause you gotta face it, watch it in amazement. There's only one, ain't no replacement. It's just so